On the phone now to Senator Tom Casperson, a Republican senator from Escanaba. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I appreciate your time this evening. I did an interview a month or so ago, a little more than that, I guess, with a representative from the Department of Natural Resources, and we were hearing about the closure of campgrounds, several of them in the Upper Peninsula. Looks like some folks got to work and you got busy and were able to save these campgrounds from closure, and wanted to know how we went about that and about the good news.
Well, when the department did their press release, you know, we kind of got caught backwards a little bit on it, and we looked at what they were proposing, and we thought there's got to be another way. And that's when we proposed legislation, and I dropped legislation that would allow for townships to have first right of refusal. If they wanted to take them over, we transfer the park over to them for $1 and let them have the park and run it. With a reverter clause that if they decided they didn't want to run it, they would go back to the department to do with as they wish. But second right of refusal was the counties, and then ultimately up for public auction if somebody in the private sector wanted to run it. But it had to be run as a state forest campground. And that led then to Senator Walker, the Traverse City area, on appropriations, trying to secure money to just keep them open, period. And between those two things, and the department came to us and started working out a plan to try and keep them open, and ultimately we got there.
Well, and it looks like there were a total of 189 campsites were initially looking like they were going to be closing. And through all of the creative financing and deals, were you able to keep them all open?
Yes. It came down to 23 at the end.
Okay.
And ultimately, we got all 23 to stay open for now.
Now, was it just through the transferring to other, like to townships or to counties or so forth, or was there some money that was able to be allocated in the budget to put towards this as well?
Well, the Senator Walker actually got the money through in one of the budgets, but then the governor talked with us. We sat down with the governor, and he preferred we didn't take the money from the source that Senator Walker took it from. So there was an agreement that the governor would veto that money out, and that he assured us they'll come up with the funding through another source, and the department actually confirmed that and said that they'll keep it open. So some people might have got confused saying, well, the governor vetoed the money, but actually there was an agreement behind the scenes. We're just going to find it in a different category.
So that the veto was part of a process.
It was part of a process, and the governor came to us before he did it and explained what he was trying to do, and we agreed ultimately with him that he was right, and so we had everybody on board, and agreement was reached.
Why is it important, do you think, to keep these campgrounds open? When we talked to the spokesperson from the DNR, she had told us that these were not state campgrounds or state park campgrounds, and there's a distinction. But she said, you know, the ones that were being targeted for closure were strategically located so people wouldn't be driving more than 45 minutes away and so forth. I mean, they tried to be careful with this, but why do you think it's important to keep all of these open?
Well, they are different. You were right in saying that they're different than state parks because these are more remote campsites, people with tents, without full hookups, those type of things, and they're set back in the forest, kind of in remote areas. And so there's a uniqueness to them. And I think the importance for it is that I do believe that they're part of the draw to come to Michigan, because a lot of these sites are used from people, I believe, around the outlying areas around Michigan that come into Michigan, and they like that type of camping, more primitive, and they set up and do that. We're even finding, and we found out through this process, that a lot of people from, and I come from the Upper Peninsula, so it was important to us when I found this out, but a lot of folks from down south in lower Michigan actually have their favorite sites up in the Upper Peninsula that they plan on their vacations around it, and they go camping in these sites because we were getting quite a few calls from below the bridge asking, is this going to be closed? Because they were literally trying to set up their vacation time, planning on coming up and camping in the Upper Peninsula. So there clearly is a use for them and a need for them. We're heading into the camping season, and that is why this thing became a priority so quick.
Well, and to keep them open, I also, as you call it, you know, quote-unquote more primitive camping, that also translates into some lower costs, so it can be a very economical way for folks to enjoy the outdoors of Michigan.
Oh, absolutely. A good point. You know, folks come into these sites, they don't always come with just a little pop-up tent. They may come in with a pop-up camper or a smaller camper to go in there that have a lot of the conveniences of home, but yet they don't have to pay for the full hookup, and a lot of these rigs have the systems all set up for that anyway, so they're all set at a lower cost. So they get the benefit of that, and they get the benefit of being out in the great outdoors back in more of a remote area.
And the new passport system, is that part of what goes to for people's entrance into these campgrounds?
Not as of right now. Now it's for the state parks, but that's part of the conversations behind the scenes is that, and one of the reasons we thought they should wait before they make this closure, and that is how well is that system going to work? And we're hearing very good news. They've already, in my understanding, is they've already gone beyond expectations with people buying the passport. So I think that passport is going to work well. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if we need to, we probably should seriously look at that passport as being part of the overall solution, not just to the state parks, but maybe the state forest campground.
What is the reception or in discussions that you've had with townships or counties as you talked about the transfer of the park? Are townships receptive to taking over kind of the management of these campgrounds?
They are. We actually had somewhat of an overwhelming response initially. The issue right now is the department would prefer to go through a lease program versus a transfer of and over to the we sense that the townships would have preferred a transfer, but we'll certainly be able to live with the lease at this point. And so what we've accomplished here is to give us a year to kind of work through this thing, let the season go, let people go out and enjoy the great outdoors, and that'll give us the season to have more talks about it. And at the end of the day, we still may end up with the transfer of the land if that's a more lucrative deal for the townships and they'd rather go that route. We're certainly open still to going that route.
Well, very good. A job well done in saving these campgrounds for certain. A lot of folks were concerned when they saw those headlines. What's on your desk in the Senate this week? The budgets have passed out, but it certainly doesn't slow down what comes in front of you.
No, we're actually working on other natural resource issues. In my case, we're working on the looking at capping off how much land the state actually will ultimately own. And the negotiations right now are, and the intent of the bill is not to stop them from buying more land, but ultimately we need to look at how much land they are going to ultimately own at the end of this entire cycle of buying land. And they're at 4.6 million acres right now, and there's multiple acres of land that are in Commercial Forest Act, which gives the public access. The Nature Conservancy has quite a bit of land holdings, which also gives much of the public access. So we're trying to wrestle with that number, come up with a number that everybody can live with and say this is a good number. We're trying to build in cushions for the use or the ability of the department to still buy more land, but then ultimately sell off some of their holdings that they don't use. A lot of it is tax-reverted land.
I'm guessing anytime the talk of capping something comes up, the discussion can get rather involved.
Well, it can, and it's kind of the opposite of what we're dealing with the state forest campgrounds. But ultimately, we want the public to be able to enjoy the great outdoors, and certainly that all makes sense. But they're also, there's a three-legged stool out there. The federal forest, federal government owns some of the land, the state owns a lot of land, and the private should be able to own land too. So we need to come up with a balance.
Well, very good. As always, a lot going on. Like you said, we talked. Were you able to make it to the Mackinac Conference?
I did. I was over there, yes.
And what are your impressions? I'm hearing from everybody who's been there. I think I was the only person left in Lansing, Senator. But I'm hearing it was kind of exceptional and different from others.
I couldn't agree with. I absolutely agree with that. I guess the most exciting thing was the optimism. And I was hearing it from everybody. It didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat. Everybody seems to be upbeat right now, thinking that we're heading in the right direction, and there's a real good chance that we're going to see good things coming out of the state of Michigan and a recovery that we've been waiting for a long time. And to see that type of optimism that was exciting because we had a lot of the business community there, and they were acting the same way. They're getting revved up and excited and really believe there's opportunity. So I think if that works, and I believe it's going to, we're going to see a turnaround in Michigan. It might not happen overnight, but I certainly think it's going to be noticeable, and we're going to start seeing jobs come back and life breathe back into Michigan.
Well, and I can't let you go. It's always the question of the day. Particularly, it was one of the topics at the Mackinac Policy Conference, the bridge.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm torn. I come from the Upper Peninsula, so it doesn't. How would I put this? We don't have a dog in this fight, but yet we do, because it has an economic impact for the state for every reason that I just mentioned. And so I'm torn with it at this point because I could go either way. I look at the private side of it. That concerns me that we're going to step in and have the competition. On the other hand, you see the traffic problems and the flow of the commerce that they need to get through, and it looks like there's some expansions about to happen there. And if the economic recovery does start to happen, we got to be able to move that product. And so right now, the governor is making a strong pitch, and we're going to listen to what he's got to say.
Very good. I appreciate your time so much and look forward to future conversations. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.